This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Richie Ote. What's up, baby?
How you doing?
Alrighty, and Wade's hanging out with the studio as well with us. Alright. We are signing off here on Reinvention Radio. Lots to talk about going on in the world. First and foremost, let me just ask you this, and Mary, maybe you can speak to this more so than anybody else in this room.
I'm afraid.
How did so many people get those hats? How did so many women get those hats in such a short period of time? Like the pink pussy hats or whatever they were calling it.
I have no idea.
Like, all I want to know is, like, who was the manufacturer of those hats? Because they are the world's fastest producers and distributors of products, who was the person who was like, we're going to make this hat our symbol for this march? And then all of a sudden, there was like 12 million of those hats.
Teespring meets Facebook or something.
Like, somebody was just sitting around with an inventory. Yeah. That was like, you know what that whole thing was? That was the single greatest marketing campaign in the history of the world. Because there was a woman out there who said, you know what? I've got a warehouse full of 2 million hats.
That don't fit right and look funky.
That don't fit right and look funny. What on earth am I going to do with all of these hats? That's like, that is a brilliant. We got to find out who that person is who created all those hats, because that was probably the fastest way to becoming a millionaire. That is like everything that is right about America in terms of being able to live the American dream and you know, take care of yourself and take care. That is that hat. Is like that's the poster child for what can happen if like everything comes, like it's like all the stars align and
it's called newsjacking. That's what it is, you know. Anything you can do to jump on that was
unbelievable marketing. So somebody made a lot of money on those hats. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. It's like, oh, good, okay, women got together, they marched, they stood up for themselves. Not going to make any difference in the scheme of things as far as politics is concerned. Because
what are we counting hats as they were?
I know, I'm like, $12. $24, and then like I lost count. As far as I could go in school was 12 times 12. Like, that was it. Like, that's as far as my times tables went. 144. Anything beyond that, I was like, yeah, I got nothing.
Was mom and dad like, Steve, work on your addition? didn't want to get to multiplication.
On the life skills report card, I got a 1 in that particular category. So speaking of money, here's what I'm wondering. What do you have to do to spend $2 million a month? Like, seriously, if it came right down to it, what would you, like, how could you spend $2 million a month? What would you have to do?
Be gambling or something?
Gambling.
Planes and boats. That's easy.
Buying planes, buying boats.
$2 million's easy to spend. Not that I've ever done it, but you can buy a plane. Get into triple digits. It's tough.
Wade, if you had to spend $2 million a month, Wade, what would you spend it on?
Well, you're having to buy like artwork or something, because just if I can kind of hijack this a little bit, back when I was young and thinking about winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse, you know, that's how long ago that was, right? But try to spend that money on just everyday consumables. Like, let's say you had $10 million. Buy the big house, buy the big car, buy the fancy wardrobe. You soon run out of stuff to buy. And then if it's just like consuming and food, there's no way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to be just buying stuff you don't need.
Like islands.
But artwork.
You just have to go out and buy an island, right? And that's
multiple jets.
I guess so, because it was interesting.
They're $25 million or what?
For a single jet, right? You could drop that all day long on a Gulfstream or whatever. Exactly. Like that, you drive 50, 60 million on that. Easy.
So why are you asking this
question?
I'm
asking this because, that whole world of celebrities, right? I mean, money, 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 money. It's like nothing but money. And by the way, clearly, I keep going back to this, but somebody has to throw me into a boat and bring me back to this country as an immigrant. And although I probably wouldn't get in. So that's the thing. Like, that wouldn't even work, because I wouldn't
would
be able to come back
to
in.
They've got time to come in through Mexico.
Have you seen that show, Blue Collar Jobs or Blue Collar or whatever it is on
Blue Collar Millionaires?
Blue Collar Millionaires. That's the one on CNBC. Yeah. I was watching that last night. I got to tell you, I'm so impressed. I am so impressed with some of these folks who come here and they do jobs that no one else will do. And then they end up just making ridiculous money. They were showing this flooring guy last night. Flooring, Antonio. Flooring Antonio. Like his name, that's what he did. Like for all day long. That's all he does. He's picking up the phone. Flooring Antonio. He's like all day long. And this guy puts his name and his number on his site. You know, you want to talk floors? Call me. Flooring Antonio. That's like, and he was on a date with his girl. Flooring Antonio. Like the whole time his phone was ringing and ringing.
Notice it was a date, not a marriage, but
keep going. It was a marriage actually. But I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. He's got like a, you know, $500,000 Ferrari and a $500,000 Phantom
Rolls Royce.
But wait,
how did he do that?
Just flooring because Antonio.
He did it with flooring.
Flooring. Flooring Antonio, that's how he did it.
So he worked for another company answering the phones, and he became an expert about flooring.
No, it was
what?
His company. He's got a flooring.
He's the owner not afraid to get on the phone.
He's the owner not afraid to get on the phone. Yeah, exactly. So they do laminate flooring. So he started out doing, I don't know, whatever it was, and somebody came to him and said basically, you know, hey, we've got like 30 pallets of this flooring and we want to just dump it. You know, would you be a buyer of it? Anyway, he was like, okay, I'll take it. And ended up making like 50 grand on that. I was like, man, there's a whole world here of laminate flooring I got to take advantage of.
You should have just said dump it and follow him.
Right. Anyway. And now, you know, he's got this big, huge thing. But anyway, the point only being he's got all of this money and it's like, Jesus, just because he's willing to do something that other people aren't willing to do. And it got me thinking, like, my God, there is so much money out there. How is it that some people make like nothing? Like Johnny Depp, right? I'm talking about the $2 million a month. I guess he's suing his manager because of like misappropriation of funds. And then they're suing him because of this, that, and the other. And then he got divorced from what's her face. It's like his
13-minute marriage.
It's like his 36th divorce. Obviously, he didn't sign a prenup. I mean, all of that Pirates of the Caribbean stuff must have gone to his head because he probably thought he was invincible. But anyway, $2 million a month is what he was spending. $2 million a month is what they said in the court records that he was spending. And I was thinking, like, Jesus, how is it that some people, like, just struggle to make, like, 30 grand a year, you know, 30, 40, 50
Is it a money
grand?
Mindset? Is it a box they put themselves in?
Obviously, he's still struggling. It's just not with money.
He's still, well, he can't keep, you know, well, he just needs to say he's gay. I mean, if he just admitted it and just did his thing, then he would stop marrying women he didn't really love and then he'd be fine. And no one would have a problem with it, Johnny. We'd still love you. You still do your thing. You're quirky anyway. We kind of expect it. So just, you know, just come out, do your thing, stop marrying women you don't really love. But the point being, how is it that some people can make so much money and we all have the same number of hours in the day? You know, I mean, we all have 24 hours in a day. We all have 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I was just playing with this in my mind, and I was thinking, like, what is it that some Wade, you're jumping out of your chair?
Well, just it's something that I've always been curious about, and you guys have all had various Hollywood experience. What I don't understand, and, you know, power to people making money, but these B-list celebrities, right, that were on, say, a sitcom for a number of years. Yeah, you made some bank, but it's not like they were making millions of dollars, but they seem to be living these high-dollar lifestyles.
Like Corey Feldman? Who are we talking about?
That could be an example. And it's like, there's got to be ancillary sources of income beyond the TV show that they're hustling to make money. But I have no idea because I don't know Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or it's like, what was the one we were talking about the other day with the lady who went back and she was the rich people kept making
her Thoroughly pay. Modern Millie.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Maybe, you know, he's just like, I'm the star. Oh, I forgot my money. You guys get it today, you know? Like,
yeah, it could be Thoroughly Modern Millie, just real quick. Julie Andrews, set in the 1920s. She's a small town girl, goes to the big city. But through the whole movie, these rich friends that she's met up with are having her pay for everything. Because it's like, oh, the cab was a quarter. All we've got's a five. Millie, do you have some small change? And, you know, through the movie, she's like, hold on, wait a minute. Why am I paying for everything? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I don't understand where they make their money, but I assume they're hustling.
Yeah, you know, because it's like, evidently, he's got a French chateau. He's got a chain of islands in the Bahamas, 150-foot yacht, you know, fine art. He's got 12 storage facilities to, like, hold all of this stuff. I mean, obviously, that's where the money's going.
But those big guys are getting percentages and such. You know, when you get $100 million dropped in your lap, Keanu Reeves donated something like all of his income from the second Matrix movie and gave it to all the graphics guys. Because he said, you guys made the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I already made $250 million off the last one.
Yeah.
What
That's
the
so
hell?
Cool. But then they, to your point about the B-list people or the ones that still want to stay relevant, they're doing the weight loss commercials, the mm-hmm. credit card commercials.
Mm-hmm. Look at George Foreman. I mean, you know, all you got to do is find yourself a good product and be the spokesperson on it and take a percentage of it.
Seen on TV. And
actually, yeah. William Shatner's got one of the best stories of all of a kind of he was an A-lister that, you know, over time, of course, became a B and C-lister. But when he became the Priceline spokesperson,
mm-hmm.
they gave him stock.
Oh, and, that's right.
And so he had, you know, a pretty good chunk of it. And then Priceline kind of went into the tanker for a while and he dumped all of the stock and ended up with like, I don't know, like 20, 30 grand or something like that. And then Priceline took off again. And now it's trading at like, you know, $300 or $400 a share or whatever it is. I mean, he would have had multi millions of dollars.
Oh, wow. That was a bad call.
That was a bad call. But anyway, long story short. It just got me thinking that, like, you know, maybe there if there's all of this money out there and money's one of your things and you want to be able to make a lot more money, maybe it's time to start thinking about, like, where is all of this going? I mean, you know, it's like Wayne Gretzky. If you skate to where the puck is going to be, maybe it's something to think about. Is like, what's coming up here on the radar?
Why don't we do an experiment with our show?
That's a good idea.
So we're gonna
make an artificial intelligence virtual reality robotics show out of Reinvention Radio. Is that
While
smoking weed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All
there we go.
Industries that are disrupting.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. We've got
bring
it.
Bring a gas mask.
All right.
Man.
There we go. We've got our new Reinvention Radio revenue model done. All right, guys. Thanks for rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast. And we will talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, everybody.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com. One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What?, Steve Olscher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.